ultra violence.
Yep.
All the droogs.
Governor.
Who let the droogs out?
Who let the droogs out?
I presume Alex.
Alex.
He's their leader.
Let the droogs out? He's
Alex is their leader.
We're the B team?
Yeah, we're the B team. Yeah, we're waiting for the call.
Any day now.
Any day now. God, we're getting old. Yeah.
I cannot wait to beat up Darth Vader.
So, this week's episode is about...
Ultraviolence.
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 It's like violence, but ultra. Yeah, lightning sound.
Not just violence, but ultraviolence. That's the way that Khaled posted it originally. Well, like, he was like, let's, we're talking about, what are we going to talk about? What's the third one? Ultraviolence? I was like, that's really specific.
Well, I wrote regular violence first, and you were like, eh, and I was like, ultraviolence?
Did you? No, I didn't think.
That's so extreme!
To the extreme!
Yeah. Sons of bitches. Slammed a Mountain Dew, lightning struck in the background.
Took my pants off and just pissed thunder.
As you do.
Ow!
Krakoom!
Krakoom.
Krakoom.
Which I think has been mentioned a few times on here, and every time Sherry hears it, she's like, that's not what lightning sounds like. I'm like,
that's exactly
what it is in comics! And she refuses to believe it. Krakoom. So Sherry, if you're listening, Krakoom.
Yep.
It's lightning.
Well, I'm glad I got in the middle of this.
Yeah. Hey, it's fine. We need to settle this somehow. I feel like on a publicly available podcast is the way to go.
Here's my list of grievances.
That's basically the one. It's right there. Krakoom, accept it.
All right. I guess you should be fighting on the ultraviolence episode. I guess that makes sense.
Makes sense. Yeah. It's hostile, man. It's hostile.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you want to start? Like, what? Creators, storylines, characters? What jumps to mind?
Characters. Let's start with the Punisher.
The Punisher. The obvious.
This whole thing is killing everyone.
That's why I picked
the Ultramax. Yeah. The Ultramax. Ultraviolence of it. I say Ultramax because there's Punisher Max.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
And that is an ultraviolet.
There's, absolutely.
And that is it's Garth Ennis.
Anything Garth Ennis. Basically. It's going to be basically.
My notes, I don't follow, like, you know, ultraviolet kind of comics that closely in general. Like, some of them I sort of follow for a bit, but it's not my main thing. But, my one of my main notes was, like, Garth Ennis in, like, all caps, and that was it. Because, that's kind of his thing.
Well, that's in my list of things. I have, like, I have a tiny, tiny book that I use. And the first bit, I have Ultraviolence written at the top. Here is the topic. The first words, what is it?
Garth Ennis, right there.
Garth Ennis, he's like, I don't even have to dance around that.
No.
Garth Ennis, The Boys.
Yeah.
Have you ever read that?
I read every issue.
Have you?
Really?
And all of the, like, spinoff miniseries.
Wow.
I didn't realize it had spinoff miniseries.
It has two. Yeah. Herogasm, which is a superhero sex party.
Yeah.
With disastrous results.
Because you thought it would go well. Ooh.
And one that was a little more Boondock Saints-y.
Oh, yeah.
Was it the Huey one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that. I read, like, the first arc or two of The Boys, and it kind of fell off.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? I sort of appreciated it a bit, but I sort of got kind of tired of it, to be honest.
I was living in Vancouver at the time, and there was a buddy that a guy that I met that I became buddies with, that we were about the same age and had a love for comics, and he was reading a ton of different comics that I wasn't. So it was like, I introduced him to this. He introduced me to that, whatever. And this was one of the ones. He was like, have you ever read The Boys? And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he just, it was like
Jack. He shook you so hard.
It was like Jack Black in High Fidelity, where he was like, here, just take this. It's going to be okay, man. Just take this. And I was like, all right, okay. And it was a couple of things that he gave me. And I was like, that was one of them. I really dug, like, at least the first couple of trades.
Yeah.
Like, I never really got much beyond it, because it was like, these are the things somebody was lending me, and I was like, well, I'm not going to go out and buy He was giving me a bunch of stuff, and I'm like, I'm not gonna buy 10 different trades to follow up on.
Well, one of the things with like books like that, and sort of talked about this a few weeks ago, it's always known with a lot of Ennis's stuff. It's like, okay, this is a closed series. Like, this is gonna go, you know, 50, 60 issues. There's an end point. Oh, I'm on board when it comes to stuff like that. Whereas I'm gonna be buying this for the next 10 years. No, I'll be buying it for the next 2 or 3 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had a healthy run though.
It's like that. It's like why I don't read Walking Dead anymore, because it's going to go on forever, and apparently something really bad just happened.
I was just gonna say, speaking of ultraviolence,
I'm not reading it, but
I don't know.
Todd showed me. He was like, I don't read Walking Dead regularly. I really have only read the first couple of trades, and then that was about it. I liked it, but it was never like, I have to read the rest of it. It never grabbed me that much. My business partner, Kurt, who did Nowadays, reads it religiously and loves it. And so I haven't spoken to him yet about it, see if he's read the latest issue where apparently, like, a good number of characters die and get killed off. And
Like major characters?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's the weird thing. They're not characters that I'm super familiar with, because...
Are we going to avoid spoilers, or...?
Because
I want to know who died.
Well, I can't tell you. No. I really don't know. Because these aren't characters that I'm like, it's this character and this character.
Siri!
You're
so fucking useless. I hate you.
Who died in Walking Dead?
Yeah, everyone.
Eventually.
Yeah.
There's
no escape from suffering and death on The Walking Dead.
You are
my time shall inherit.
Yeah. Take it.
It's basically a lot of people die.
Okay.
In one shot. One huge shot. And like,
it's... Yeah.
So there's that.
It's one of those things, like, The Walking Dead I read for a long time. I think I have, like, the first 9 or 10 volumes. And I just stopped. There was at the point where it was just, like, you know what I mean? It was just, like, horrible graphic deaths of people you've grown to care about, one after another, and there's no end to it. And it was just like, you know what? I can't read this anymore. I'm just sick of it. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. It's a well-made comic. But there's a point where it's just like, you know, too much. I always find that with sort of the ultraviolent stuff in general. It's sort of like, you know, at a point it's kind of shocking, like, oh shit, oh look at this.
Yeah.
And then when it keeps going too long, it's not shocking anymore. It's just expected, and it just gets kind of dreary and almost kind of boring to me. Not always, it often
it's
can.
It's all how it's done. And this is what I was like.
There needs to be a good story, too.
Well, that's the thing. This is what I, like, I'd written down, like, here's a couple of characters, here's a couple of creators who kind of almost specialize. Like, Garth Ennis is one of those that's his genre.
It is.
There's like, violence. It's not even, like, there's violence and ultraviolence. There's violence in every comic.
Sure.
And you're not gonna find many comics that don't have it. But then there's ones that have gory, bloody, sort of, thing that's just constant.
Or like, and just like kicking people's heads off in graphic detail, and people being like crushed to a pulp and stuff like that. Just, you know, and I mean, yeah, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, I can enjoy plenty of that stuff myself. I've watched a lot of horror movies in my day. I enjoy them a lot. But.
Well, that's the thing. And that's funny that you say that, because that's the way I've written it down. It was, there's violent, and then there's violence as part of storytelling.
Right.
There's like, here's for the sake of doing the violence. And then there's like, here's the story, but it's got a violent part to it. And that's, I akin it to like a gore fest sort of movie, where it's like, it's those kind of, like, starting with Evil Dead, that sort of stuff. I fucking love Evil Dead. I like that sort of stuff, but I like it to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
It's that for the sake of it. As long, if it's got a good story to it, yeah, go fucking crazy.
Oh, of course.
I love it. Like, but if all you're doing it is, if you drop the story thing and you've gone the gore way,
yeah,
and it's like, I'm not really sure what you're trying to do.
I think there's also a matter of just, you know, there's not, that, and as well, like, you watch a movie, that's one thing. If it's like a comic series that runs for like 100+ issues,
that's
something else. We're just like, okay, you're,
it's over and over. That's true.
Every once a month for like, you know, how many years, it just gets to the point, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's a great story, I feel like, you know, there's a point where if it's just, like, nonstop gore and dreariness, that gets tiresome. Yeah. For me, at least. Yeah. Some people live it, some people just love that stuff, and that's
and
fine.
And that's the weird thing. And it's... Well, I don't even say it's weird. Like, it's... Everybody's individual, and it's not like one thing is bad and one thing is good.
Oh, of course.
It's what you like.
Yeah.
And if you like superhero stuff, there's some people that don't like superhero stuff. Right. It's not like one is good and one is bad.
Where does Garth Ennis fit on that spectrum, I wonder? It's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Well, and the weird thing is, like, when I was researching this, where I had written down that point, where I was like, there's violence,
yeah,
and then there's violence as part of storytelling. Somebody in this weird thread that I was reading,
yeah,
they were talking about violence in comics, linked it to Alan Moore. Like, well, if it's an Alan Moore comic, and I was like, really? That, he doesn't strike me as...
Yeah.
Ultra-violence, or even really overtly violent. And then they actually...
I would argue that he is. As much as
I know you hate it.
What?
Watchmen.
I don't hate Watchmen.
Well, going talking about it.
Oh, Watchmen. No, I'm fine with that.
All right.
I just feel like everyone's said everything about Watchmen at this point.
But that's the thing. It's like somebody had said, well, you know, there's the stuff in Watchmen, and they actually, and I can't even remember, I should have wrote that down, like, what they quoted as, oh, there was, like, the dog getting the hatchet.
Yeah.
And I was like, and that's where I wrote that down. There's violence, and then there's violence for the sake of storytelling.
Right.
That was in order to encapsulate what those characters were and what was going on. There's not, there's just like, well, it's fucking, I'm gonna blow a hole in this guy. There's like all this blood, like, and it's, okay, what just happened? All right, you just did that. What does that tell me about any of the characters? Like, and it doesn't. And it,
right.
And then it's also how it's depicted as an artist. You have the writer and then the artist. Completely different things that work in their own separate ways. That it was, that the way that Gibbons worked, that was a fucking masterpiece.
Oh, it's, I mean, violent. Like,
There's violent parts to it.
Oh, of course there are. Like,
it could have been usually, violent, but... And then there's also, like, violent... There's a rape scene.
Yeah.
Which is violence, but it, again...
There's a lot of stuff in there where... That was the whole part of it. You don't really see... It's hard to see it as, like, being gratuitous.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because it's all, you know, that's the story.
It's not the gore-fest kind of thing, yeah.
Exactly. And it's where, you know, on the other hand, a lot of, like, say, like, Garth Ennis, for example, a lot of that stuff is just, like, just, look what I can do, kind of, you know, it feels that way. Not that he doesn't tell good stories, he does, but it's just, you know, it seems like he has this trick he just does all the time, and it's just kind of the same, and it's just, you know, one of those things I've gotten a little bored of.
Yeah.
He can still write a good story,
though. Oh, he absolutely can. Yeah. I'm not saying he can't. He absolutely can, but I feel like he's got certain things that he does that he just maybe could rein in sometimes, and he never really does.
Right, it's the sort of thing that you look at a character there, and you're like, oh, that sick bastard. Like, yeah. Yeah, but how many times have you seen that in an Ennis book? It's like, oh, this character is so despicable, now I have to hate them.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Here's your standard slot.
Yeah.
Put it up for you.
Well, yeah. I feel like he does, like, the...
I'm certainly not complaining. I like his stuff.
Yes. That's true.
I like some of his stuff, not all of his stuff. Like, it's not... I've never... There's creators that I go to that I'm like, I want to get this stuff. He's never been on my list of, like, I have to follow this thing.
No.
No, but if I'm ever recommended a book of his, I will at least check it out.
Yeah. Again, I'm not... there's nothing... I have nothing against him, but it's just sort of like, you know, I sort of know exactly what his overall sort of tone and message is going to be a lot of the time, and most of the time I'm like, I don't really care to read that, to be honest. I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying it's not for me, necessarily. But, yeah. But again, for the people who love it, they love it, so that's fine.
Then it's also relative. This was another thing that I kind of thought of as we were going on. I wrote down Jason Todd, Kraven Suicide, and Ares Ripped in Half by the Sentry.
Ah. Oh.
No, I thought you were showing me.
Ares being ripped in half by the Sentry. I remember that.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that happened. Well, yeah.
I remember that. Yes, I remember that because it was just like,
that's pretty gratuitous and gory. Gratuitous,
yeah.
Violence. And I was like, but you know what?
Crossover event.
Yeah.
That was during, what, Siege?
Compared to, what, Jason Todd and, what was the other one on my list? Sorry.
Craven's Suicide.
Yeah. Because those, I feel, were more... They're sort of like off-panel kind of a thing, right? You had some splatter.
Well, okay, this and you know what, I only just thought of this because Todd made his cover on his Facebook was the whatever 4 or 5 panel scene,
yeah,
where Joker crowbars right. Jason Todd to death,
yeah,
and that's like it is off camera per se.
Yes, it's still,
but it's pretty gratuitously violent, and yeah. it's pretty hardcore. And it's at the time.
It was almost to death.
You gotta think of when this happened. And that was the thing I was thinking of. I was like, well, when did that? That was what, like 93? Something like that.
Right.
Around that
time. Oh, no, that was earlier. That was in the 80s.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. I feel like it was like 86 or something. Death in the Family?
Really?
Yeah, no, Tim Drake was introduced.
We've had this discussion before.
Yeah, no, Tim Drake was introduced in 88 or 89 or something like that. So okay. It was before right. that.
Okay.
88 to 89.
Yep. Yep.
Oh.
88, okay.
So that's, yeah, okay, that would make sense because it was like, I was in high school. I was in high school in 89, so that would make
okay.
sense.
Got my first real six string. Jason Tonka beat to death.
Build up real. That is one.
Joker had diplomatic immunity. Superman had a mustache.
Summer of 89.
Love it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, God.
Good. That is a whole new.
There's another ringtone.
Ringtone. But there's that, and Craven's Suicide really is not produced at all.
No.
It's more like, it's actually almost like poetically beautiful.
Yeah.
Like him in the...
Well, it's...
In the coffin and the blood splatter.
I think it's one of those, and again, like the Jason Todd sequence, even though, you know, seeing it like, you know, like boom, boom, boom. I mean, like, yeah, it's very impacting. It's very brutal. But it's not like, you're not seeing close-ups of his head being caved in. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah.
It's, and if anything, I feel like it's more impactful because it doesn't show it, because you see just the viciousness in the Joker and the maniac.
And it's the face.
Exactly. Like, his smiling face as he does it. That, again, like, in a more modern comic, you might see, like, the impact instead of seeing that. And it would,
well, then,
it would,
that's
would not
when
have
we
the
go
same impact.
To the century ripping Ares in half.
Exactly.
He literally rips him in half. It's a full panel.
Yeah. It's like a like, splash page.
He's in half, like... You can't even make out. It's like, here's a cow that's been pulped up and like, torn. You're like, oh, I don't even know what I'm looking at.
Yeah. Like, again, you remember that because it's, like, gross, but I don't think it's going to be...
And it was this afternoon.
Yeah.
I looked at it.
But... Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We remember that because it's, like, gross. Like, I remember that when you mentioned it because it's gross, but I mean, like, the Jason Todd thing, for example, that's just, like, expert storytelling.
Yeah.
Like, that is phenomenal.
And that's where you get into that thing.
Yeah.
But then it's also, you get into desensitizing, which leads me into the next part of it, that it's, violence has become normalized and it's become a mainstream thing.
Yeah.
You see stuff in regular theaters that you never would have seen it.
Oh, no,
seen
no.
10 or 20 years ago.
Well, increasingly, as a lot of, like, even superhero comics are read by, like, you know, people our age instead of kids.
Well,
right?
there's that, and the reason that when you posted, you were like, ultraviolence, let's talk about that. The reason I jumped on it, I was like, I just read Old Man Logan for the first time.
Yeah.
Because the whole
That is an ultraviolent book.
That is fucking brutal.
Oh, yeah.
I read it last night, like, literally, I read the entire trade in bed. I'll read the first chapter, or whatever. I was like, holy fuck.
It's kind of topical, Old Man Logan coming to...
that's why I ordered the trade. I got Todd to order the trade for me, because... that there's the Old Man Logan in the Secret Wars whole side shoot thing.
Yeah.
And I got the first one or two, I guess two is out now. And I got that. I was like, this is really fucking good, but I don't know the original story. I just kind of know the basic idea, but I don't know the whole thing.
Right.
And he's like, oh yeah, you totally have to get this. And I was like, okay, well, order for me. And he actually sent me a message about something. And I was like, that fucking Old Man Logan, read it last night. Brutally good. And it's fantastic, but it's really brutal. Yeah. And it's...
The original, the Millar's McNiven one, wasn't that just like, it was just issues of Wolverine, wasn't it? Am I wrong? I don't think it was a separate miniseries. It was just issues of Wolverine.
That's why I thought it was weird, because, you know, you look on the back on the trades and it says collects issues, whatever. And it was like Wolverine, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
And plus giant size some Wolverine or something like that.
Right.
And I was like, oh shit, did I get the right one?
It was 5 or 6 issues?
Something like that, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
It was one story.
Yeah.
But I just find it kind of funny where, like, you know, the issue before that, like a regular issue of Wolverine, would probably be, like, you know, teen rated or whatever, right? And it would,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's just, like, brutal violence for, like, 5 or 6 issues, and it's like, oh, back to the usual.
Yeah.
It's just,
he's got a sword again.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been swallowed by the Hulk, and now he's cutting him open with his claws from the inside. Like, and he kills everybody. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I, you know, it's what one is of it, those
the
ones.
Blob eating the Wasp? Jesus.
Oh, God. Let's complain about which, Ultimatum again, yeah. That piece of crap.
Tell us how you really
You're a real piece of garbage, Ultimatum.
Ultimatum was, I'm still mad about it. That's a piece of shit, man. Sorry. Pardon my French, but,
It hasn't aged. It hasn't gotten better.
It has not gotten better. That might be one of the worst Marvel comics ever, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Anyway. Anyway. Just mention Ultimatum if you want me to get real mad for a few minutes.
Well, that's, you know, like, of all the lists that I saw, and then even in my head of just, like, the ones that I knew of automatically.
Yeah.
You had brought that up, and I never read it or seen it, and then I saw it after.
Just again, just those images.
Now you can't get that out of your head.
You have somebody being eaten, just their corpse being eaten. You have like Doctor Strange's head exploding. Like, what was the point of that? Like, just so it was. And again, that was a bad story.
I do think the funniest part of that is still like at the end, like the few people who've survived are like, you know, attending this press conference at the White House. Cyclops is giving a speech. He's like, yeah, we've lost a lot of people. You know, we're here. We're gonna rebuild. Cyclops gets shot in the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
That's it. Exactly. There was no point to it at all. It was an awful...
The Benny Hill music.
That was an incompetently written comic, and it was just, like, sweeper comes violent out for no good reason. That's the worst side of it, I think. Yeah, where it's just like, look at this, we're killing them off.
For what reason? We can do
just
it.
Just doing it.
Nothing
exactly.
Nothing counts over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that awful. I don't... I'll be honest. Understand that urge. Comics get to a certain point where you're like, holy fuck, these characters are just doing the same fucking thing over and over and over again. Unless you can, and then that leads us to the writer, and not that I don't, probably every writer who's ever worked on these has gotten to that point of just like, oh, what do we do? Would I just fucking kill somebody right now? Okay, maybe I'll kill somebody. Do it.
Who am I going to kill?
I'm going to kill everybody.
How can I do it? How gross can I do
this? I'm
going to
have the blob eat them. Like it's just the nth degree of it. Like, not everybody will get to that point, but apparently... Who wrote it?
Jeff Loeb.
Yeah.
He's written some things.
Yeah.
He's written some
things.
Some have been pretty good. Some have been real, real terrible.
Some have been Ultimatum.
Yeah. That's on that list. If you've written Ultimatum, I'm just side-eyeing
it's
you all the time.
It's hard to come back from that. It's hard to come back from that.
It is very hard to come back from that. Very hard.
Well, just ask Professor X.
Oh.
Yeah.
Blah, blah.
There it is right there.
What about Lobo?
Lobo? I've written down Lobo.
Yeah, bandage.
What about sniping right out of your notebook?
Yeah.
Just looking over your shoulder.
You're like, what's that, Jake?
Does that say Bolo?
Bolo Young.
Yeah.
Constantly wearing a Bolo tie.
Beast from the East.
He's from Texas. Oh, okay.
Do you know Bolo Young? No. Enter the Dragon?
Movie?
Sorry.
I know what it is.
So
I just
to teach you. Bolo Young. Bloodsport. Remember Bloodsport?
Okay, like the guy with the... Am I thinking of the right guy?
Bolo Young was
Asian
was
dude?
The huge with a huge chest.
Yes.
Just ginormous.
Yes, yes.
That's bullying.
I love his chest.
He's a burly gentleman.
He's a burly gentleman.
Yeah.
My friends and I and,
we call him the buff Asian around these parts because it's a population thing.
Friends and I in high school and university created a religion around Bolo Young called the Celtic Order of Boloism.
Yeah.
We were all priests. That's all I want to say about that.
Well, I'm a priest on the internet.
Yeah. Ooh, oh, man, I want to do that.
I've got one of those.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like you can perform ceremonies and stuff?
Yeah, not here, though.
Not here.
Yeah. But I've got like the certificate. I've got it framed and stuff.
My friend, Dean Young, mm-hmm. Talk Hole Podcast Network. He's apparently can perform marriages in Modesto, California.
Who can't?
Does he get there a lot?
No, never been as far as I know.
Just once for that wedding.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure. Not even then. He did it like a long time ago as a joke, just to say that he was a minister in Modesto, California, where he's never been, and I don't think has any plans to go. I'm tempted.
Like, it's nice to be able to put that honorarium.
Yeah.
Or honorary.
It's good on a resume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I can marry any two people.
Like, I can marry 14 other people.
Now you're married.
Yeah.
Exactly. Boom. That's what it.
I'm going to do the sign of, well, not a cross because it's a non-denominational faith, but,
and then I'll declare first
name. I'm just going to do a square.
Just sort of twirl around.
I'll do a T.
You're married. I just jut my pelvis out.
Yeah.
Pam.
Married ya. No, I mean, we're married. Not I'm
crush
not.
Lightning.
Oh boy, gotta be more specific.
Well, we're all married.
Hey-o.
This is not legal.
So Lobo.
Yeah, Lobo.
What I was bringing him up because it was like he's listed as like those violent characters, and I was like, is he?
No, he's a parody.
He's a parody of a violent character.
And along the line, someone forgot that he's a parody.
Yeah. And there's several. Like, and it's, there's, I was going to say Wolverine, because and at times, depending on who's writing him and what book and what's going on, there's a lot of times, yes, they're violent, but they don't show it. And again, it comes into the storytelling of, like, is he cutting everybody up? If it's Old Man Logan, yes, everybody's getting sliced and diced. But, like, I don't think I've ever seen a Lobo book. Like, again, I have not read every Lobo book and every appearance of Lobo.
You haven't?
I thought you did.
You haven't lived.
Yeah. I'll put it on the list.
Life with Lobo.
We'll let you know later. Because DC characters really are good that way.
Ooh. What about this new Lobo? Anybody read anything with the new Lobo?
That's going to be the old Lobo?
What?
I don't know.
Old Lobo and new Lobo.
The old Lobo was new Lobo was Lobo.
I like Lobo Classic.
Yeah.
He's Kobo Lobo.
Didn't they do that when like old Lobo showed up and he was like, that's fake Lobo. This is the real Lobo. This new extreme Lobo. But he's just like a pretty boy dick.
And then he fucked him right in the face.
Probably.
No.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Ugh. That's a low blow.
You win.
Clink. I got a million of the zingers on this doohickey.
Yeah.
But it's that sort of character that it was like, you know, they're listed as the violent characters, but they're like, really, like, in the terms of...
what they portray.
Especially 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Comics, superhero comics.
They're still under the code.
They're like, well, the code had been kind of dropped with that.
I don't think, not at that point. It was later on.
Oh, no.
They could drop it when they felt like it.
Well, they dropped it in the 90s. It's gone.
I feel like that might have been even later than that.
I feel like we all kind of dropped it in the 90s.
Yeah. But I mean, they were not so...
like our balls puberty, to it. Right?
They could just drop that off whenever they felt like.
I'm older.
I just wanted to say it.
Yeah, thanks. I just
wanted to talk about your late puberty.
My late puberty. Funny.
Yeah. I got a pack of smokes. What the heck?
Oh my god.
It's 2010.
Yeah.
Hey, that comes out of my wages.
It fell in the fryer. I'll get it. Ow. Ow.
Ow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
If I had a girlfriend, she'd kill me.
That was what I was just about to say.
Let's fill half this episode with Simpsons quotes. Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do other characters, but as the squeaky voice teen.
Yeah, yeah.
Cowabunga!
Is there a chance the track could bend?
I could pull a better cartoon out of my A-cans!
I entered my name, Thrill House!
What were we talking about?
It's not an exact quote, I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway!
I have a ball. Perhaps you'd like to bounce it.
This is all going in, huh?
That boy ain't right.
Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy's iron.
Alright. Anyways. What else? There's like things like Sin City, Judge Dredd.
Sure.
Invincible, which.
Yeah.
Kind of has a clean look, but is.
It's deceptively clean.
It's deceptively clean. It
sometimes
is.
Sometimes well, that's like the whole right the
first
off.
Arc.
Yeah.
It's the setup, and then... really brutal.
Oh, guess what? Horrible violence.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
and it's gratuitous violence. There's like, the horrible, like, we were talking about of Joker with the thing, and you don't see it. Then, although I'm kind of both ways about that. That it's like, oh, you don't see it, therefore it didn't happen. It's okay to show. But I'm like, no, it's all in how the storytelling works. You can gratuitously show it and have it be remarkable storytelling. It doesn't mean that as soon as you do show it, that means it's bad storytelling. Which is what that kind of leans towards.
I think you can do that, but I think it takes a lot of actual, like, fucking talent. A lot of the time, it's hard to do. They're going for the gratuitous violence, a lot of the time, it doesn't have the best track record for that.
I feel like it overshadows the rest of what you're doing.
I feel like if you have some restrictions from what you can show, I think it kind of forces you to be a little more clever.
Yeah.
To leave that impact while not actually showing it gratuitously.
Yeah.
And then, again, I think that's a good example. Craven's Last Hunt's a good example where it's like, you know what I mean? It has like that massive impact. You don't see it in like gratuitous detail, but you feel it.
You know exactly what
exactly. And I feel like it has a more of an impact than if you would have seen it in gratuitous detail in those cases.
Yeah.
Not that you can't pull it off well, but yeah, I feel like, you know, again, having some restrictions can be the best thing sometimes.
Yeah.
For that kind of thing.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, it's simple as artistic license.
Yeah.
Like, are you trying to make a moving story, or are you just trying to gross people out and go, whoa, did you see that guy?
Exactly. And there's a place for that. But, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, again, I for me, the most actually, like, moving stuff would have a little more thought behind it than just that.
The ones that stick in your head is, like, what do I remember as that sort of moment? And, again, right. Craven.
It's not just, this guy did a cool thing. It's... There's an emotional component to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It's, of course, the blob eating the wasp sticks in all our heads, unfortunately. It doesn't mean that it's a good thing it sticks in our heads. You know what? I had a couple of really horrible poos that stick in my head, kind of. Yeah.
It's not swallowed.
Yep, I remember that. Gross. I noticed there's TMNT on your list, which I'll always bring up.
That's the only thing that I haven't brought up.
Yeah.
Remember that time Shredder got blown up?
Yeah.
Then chopped in half?
He got blown up. Well, he got blown up off-panel, to be fair.
Right.
And when he got his head cut off by Leonardo when he was cloned, came back that way, the worm clone thing. Anyway, it's... The way it was drawn, it was... Again, this was like an independent comic. It was more violent. It was black and white, but he was almost like more silhouette than anything at that point. It was like a big mess of splatter, but it was just black. And there was this razor-thin line through it. And it was really well done. It was double-page spread. Yeah. It was, like, great. But, you know what I mean? I feel like they could have, you know, other artists might have made it more, like, you know, like, blah, seeing, like, the spine and shit.
That's the thing.
Cross-eyed, his tongue sticking out.
Yeah, exactly. There was almost kind of, yeah, the way they actually did that, I thought was, like, that was a boom. Like, that hit real hard. And it was gross. I mean, like, there was... You know, it was violent, but there was a certain kind of artistic style to it.
That's where you have the artist's signature and the artist's approach, and every distinct artist has their own way of kind of doing that, Whereas, like, that's, he, they have a very distinct look. And I remember,
right.
I remember seeing that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Of just, and it's not just that one example, but several of the Turtles, of just the black and white original Mirage stuff. That's, it had a brutal aspect to it, but I don't remember it ever being impactfully brutal. Where it was over the top.
Like, gratuitously.
Gratuitously. And I'm like, oh my god, what the fuck?
Well, they had some, because they'd stab people through, like, they'd kill people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. They'd kill exactly.
Well, there's one City at War thing where, like, they're fighting robots as well.
Oh, yeah.
It might even be right on the cover. I don't think it is, but there's, like, the Turtles are fighting it and the Foot are fighting it. And one of these robots is, like, it crushes one of the Foot Clan ninjas' heads, and yeah. It's like right there in panel,
just splat.
And it's just like, it's there, and I always feel like I have a vivid mental image of it, and it's like, that's gross.
Yeah,
that's real gross. This guy's just getting his head squished in the middle.
And that
of
was
New York.
like Mirage Black and White.
Yeah.
And it, the thing with black and white, I think, too, is it sort of, you know what I mean?
Like, but still, like, if you see, like, a little...
There's also a limit of,
oh,
you
for
can,
sure.
of how you can depict that.
Yeah.
When you're working black and white, you're working in a totally different medium than color. Like, you're
right.
It's really hard to get certain things across, and you have to, like, I can't...
They did pretty good, though.
Yeah.
But yeah.
There were little squish sound effects.
Sure.
It was the only time I'd actually seen a sound effect in an Angel's book, which said squish.
That's where Bjork got her name from. Hmm. It was a head squish.
I knew it was
in a comic. Bjork.
Oh.
Dark.
Really?
No.
No.
I stepped on somebody.
Dark.
Suspension of disbelief. It's a hell of a thing.
Yeah. I wanted to believe.
Perhaps you'd like to try it.
Do we have anything to add to Ultraviolence?
I think I've, you know, covered my portion. I mean, going back to the boys a bit, I think kind of that was interesting. Kind of fell off. I mean, Garth Ennis does his whole superheroes suck, kind of a thing a lot.
The whole idea behind the boys was he was trying to out-preach or preacher.
Yeah.
And in terms of, like, the gross-out factor, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Not a better story than Preacher.
Absolutely not.
Not by a long shot.
It was enjoyable, don't get me wrong. It was, but at least as far as I read, but I think it was around the same time I was reading that. Was that around the same time, like, All-Star Superman happened?
It was
It was close.
That. Slightly after.
All-Star Superman was slightly after.
Yeah.
All-Star Superman was after.
No. The Boys was after.
Was it?
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was okay.
They weren't too far off, though. I think it was sort of like, I was right around that cusp where
it was
like,
that's like a parody of.
Oh, okay. It wasn't, like, right away, but yeah. Yeah, that was one of those things, I think, where that came out around the same... Like, it wasn't exactly the same time, but it was in the similar range, and I was in the right age to be all about, like, the boys. About that whole thing, like...
About the boys!
Superheroes are dumb, let's be more, like, you know, whatever. Like, be more, like, realistic, whatever, even though it's not at all. But, and I sort of, like, fell in love with superheroes again, in a way. Like, I always liked them, but I sort of, like, fell in love with just being like, you know what, just pure optimistic superhero stuff, and I kind of fell off of the boys a bit at the same time there.
That's where it started.
A little
bit. That's where it happened.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it was. And the boys is one of those ones.
You became altruistic right after that.
Yeah, a little bit. It was in that weird spot where I'm sort of like, you know, I liked a lot of that stuff, I liked a lot of this stuff, I liked a lot of things, but I wasn't really... You know what I mean? Like, as far as my sensibilities go, it was maybe a little more all over the place. And I can still appreciate any story, if it's violent or what, if it's a good story, but one of those things where the boys got to a point where I was just like, yeah, but, you know, you're just...
It felt
a lot like it was like, it was like he was doing his one trick, and it was like, yeah, but what else? And it didn't feel like there was much else, to me
right.
at least. Yeah, and
then
you
play into the thing of, like, it's also a business, and we, you know, you're telling a story, but it's not just, I just need to, I'm Dickens, and I need to tell my story. It's like, I hear a story, and I have a comic, and I need to...
What if I put some Dickens?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Touching tips.
Right. Anyways. Yeah, there's the point, because again, I feel like, you know...
Like, I need to make 10 more issues of this, and 20 more issues of this, and I have to make this a story, and it's... This is what sold before, so it's going to sell again. And
right.
Then there's that. But then there's also, like, maybe that's what that guy likes.
And that's fine. It's like, but the only issue I have is when certain things are like sort of billed or accepted as like mature comics, quote unquote. When really, like, you know, The Boys isn't that mature. I don't think. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it, but I feel like it's pretty juvenile in a lot of ways. It's just more...
It's mature, the violence. It's mature, yeah. Like Chasing Amy's mature.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
Wow, this blew my mind when I was 15.
Exactly. And then, you know, it's like, I rewatched that at 30. It's like, oh.
But then you also get just into playing with the things of, like, the times have changed. That would have... Chasing Amy. Yeah.
Sure.
30 years ago would have been fucking mind-blowingly more than it was 15 years ago than what it is now.
This Affleck fellow is delightful. And this Jason Lee is somewhat forgettable, it turns out.
And he's just a tracer.
Your mom's a tracer.
On that note...
Yep.
I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca. Merc, and nowadays on Facebook. Some other places I'll tell you about later. You can find me there. Go to my place.
Do it.
Do that.
Do it or I'll kick you in the
head. Go to my place!
Do it.
That's as violent as I get.
Yep.
Do it.
I'm Bri. My comic is at welcometohereafter.com, and it's about what happens after God loses his job, and other stuff happens, probably. It's also Welcome to Hereafter.
People get killed.
Yeah, a lot of horrible death.
Lots of
violence. Read every page. It'll be in the next page, I promise. No matter what page you're on, it's on the next one. If you like that sort of thing. And, I'm on Facebook under that as well. And, just look me up. I'm around.
I'm Kyle. You can check my stuff out at skiningers.com. If you search for violence under the search thing, you'll probably find something. Search violence or fighting or... Like, I'll look through and I'll, you know, make it easy for you because I care about you. Because I hope you care about me. Because you guys care about... You're both looking at me. Everyone's looking
at me. I care a lot.
Okay, you know what? I'm not going to do any of that stuff then. Forget it. Oh, sounds like so much work.
He hit his quota.
Hi-yo.
Oof. It's avoided.
Also, if you want to check out our page on Facebook, you know, we've got some fun discussion stuff.
We post shop all the time, like just weird
any
links,
comic news or whatever.
If you want to suggest an episode idea, that's the place to do it.
Absolutely.
So if you're like, why aren't they talking about what I want them to talk about? You got to go there and tell us and yell at us there.
And we will listen.
If you want to be whiny internet people, do it there.
Or just give us some suggestions.
I think that one of those words is superfluous.
Internet.
Fair enough.
Whiny.
Yeah. But yeah, so you can check it out there. Whatever we find about comics online, we usually post on there. If you find it interesting, it's kind of just our own little place to do that. And we're on iTunes also, so if you want to look up Zero Issues on iTunes, you can subscribe. If you want to leave us a nice rating, that would help us a lot because it helps us get noticed. And
spreads the word, like syphilis.
Yeah, except a good syphilis.
We are a good syphilis.
Hi, we're the good syphilis. Hi. We're like the good cholesterol.
We're happy herpes.
We're syphilis.
Oh my god, happy herpes.
Happy herpes.
Oh boy.
That's like Happy Hogan. That's how he started.
Yeah.
He was happy herpes.
Happy herpes.
And then Stan Lee was like, maybe we shouldn't do that.
Maybe we should spread this character around.
Yeah. And Kirby was like, yes, I can do it. I'll draw it and I'll just do it all anyway. You're just going to be...
I'm having a bit of a Hogan flare-up right now.
I know. Michi Hogan.
So that all just happened.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I got zero issues.
See what happens when you rehearse things and think about it?
Never. He's like, hi, it's us, the other little mention droogs.